All right. Open your Bibles up to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're talking about the seven steps to the highest kind of faith. And last Wednesday, we talked about the integrity of God's Word. We have to understand that God will do what He said He'd do. And we have to become fully persuaded in that. And the way to become fully persuaded is to meditate on His Word. The same way Abraham had to do it, that's the same way we got to do it. We have to run around meditating on the Word of God. You know, God told Joshua to meditate on His Word day and night. You know, just run around and keep on meditating, keep on saying those verses over and over to yourself. Now remember, you're not trying to twist God's arm. You're not trying to talk Him into something. You're building faith in your heart. Every time you hear yourself say what God says about you, faith is being built in your heart. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And then we found out that we have to understand our redemption in Christ. To understand that we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That we have been bought and paid for. We have literally been delivered, redeemed from the kingdom of darkness and Satan and his control, and been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. We have been brought into a whole new kingdom. That happened the exact minute you got born again. You don't have to try to be delivered from the devil. You just have to receive your freedom from him. Amen? Now, some people accept defeat in life because they don't fully understand the Word. They may say things like, our spirits belong to the Lord, but our bodies haven't been redeemed as yet. Therefore, we must suffer sickness and disease in the physical realm now. But the time is coming when we won't have to. You have to understand, absolutely everything that you need in life was paid for at that cross. And in fact, your healing was paid for before your sins were paid for. God wants you to be whole. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be healthy and sound in every way. Our job is to receive it, not earn it, receive it. He's already freely given it to us. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God and are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So that passage tells us that not only our spirit, but our body is also bought with a price. Therefore, you are to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So does God get any glory out of Satan's dominating us physically? Does God get any glory out of us accepting any kind of sickness from Satan? Could God get any glory out of the body, the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is deformed or defaced with sickness? Certainly not. We need to understand this clearly and learn to take a stand against the devil when he attacks our bodies just as quickly as we would when he attacks our spirits. God will not give you a sickness to teach you a lesson. Absolutely not. He will not get any glory out of seeing you held in bondage to Satan. He'll get glory seeing you get set free. You got to understand, you're the body of Christ. Literally, Jesus is the head of the church. We are the body. And the Bible tells us, as He is, so are we now in this world. How do you suppose Jesus is today? I'd say he's pretty good, wouldn't you? I would say that he's looked upon pretty favorably. I would say that he's looked upon with a peculiar kind of love. You know that God loves you with the same love that he loves Jesus with? That's good news. God's not missing anything in heaven. And he doesn't want us to be missing anything on this earth. He wants us to walk in victory. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance in light. This is part of our inheritance as children of God as we walk in light. We have dominion and authority over the devil through the blood of Jesus. It is by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony that we overcome Satan, that we are delivered from the power of darkness and are translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Notice those words, giving thanks to the Father, which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance. We can partake of our inheritance right now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. There's too many people waiting around till they get to heaven so they can get rid of all their diseases, all their sicknesses, all their pains and aches. You don't have to wait. You know, you're not going to need any healing when you get to heaven. Did you know that? There's no sickness in heaven. Any healing that you're going to need, any healing that you're going to get, is going to happen right here on this earth. You know, if Jesus just showed up right now and ripped us out of here, we get a glorified body. Boom. No sickness. There's no sickness in heaven. Any healing that we're going to get, we're going to get it down here on this earth. And it's not going to be by accident. It's not going to come by osmosis. It's not going to come by luck. It's going to come from God, and it's going to be on purpose because it's going to be in response to your faith in his grace. Amen. You know, we have deliverance and redemption from the hand of Satan right now. We overcome him now by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We glorify God now in our bodies and in our spirits, which are God's. Just so we're clear on this, God gets no glory from a sick body. He's not mad at this person in any way, shape, or form. But he gets glory from their deliverance and from their healing. That's how he gets glory. So we have to understand that sickness comes from the devil, not from God. John 10:10, Jesus cleared the waters for everybody in that verse. He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If it's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's coming from the thief. That's Satan. Jesus came that we would have life, that we might have it more abundantly. He wants us to have even an overflowing life. Not only physically and mentally and spiritually, but he wants you to have an overflowing life financially too. Why would he be so interested in you being prospered? Well, if you got an extra couple hundred bucks and somebody needs some food, you can buy some food. You got an extra couple $100 and a missionary needs Bibles, you can buy some Bibles. Maybe your neighbor needs somebody to witness to him, and you go over there and you witness to him, and you realize that he needs a Bible. So you just go buy him a Bible. He wants you to be prosperous so that you can overflow into other people's lives. Amen? Okay. Let's get on to the next step. Open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to talk about the reality of the new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. I want you to just stop right there. I know I wasted a lot of time wishing that I could start my life over on a clean slate. I didn't realize that when I got born again, I had a clean slate. And here's the good news. Here's the really, 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 really good news. Every morning you wake up, you have a clean slate with God. 1 John 1:7 says, if you walk in the light as we are in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. Praise God. There's your chance to shout right there. You wake up every morning with a clean slate. That's good news. Amen? In order to achieve the highest kind of faith, it is necessary for us to know the reality of the new creation. We need to know that in the mind of justice, we were created in Christ Jesus when he was recreated after he had been made sin as our substitute. We should know that the moment we accepted Christ as Savior and confessed him as Lord, we were recreated. That is when the legal aspect became a reality in our lives. Absolutely everything became new. You got washed completely clean with the blood of Jesus. See, that's why it's so important. You know, when you get born again, that's a light, and that's great. You know, but there's a lot of people that are walking around with one light bulb. I was one of those for a long time. I had my one light bulb, that's all I had. And there was a lot of preachers tried to turn that thing off. It's still crazy, but I knew I was born again. They didn't think I got born again right, but I believed in my heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confessed with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. You're born again. Amen. And I knew some crazy West Texas preacher put me in the water, dunked me, and baptized me. Yeah, I didn't do that right, according to some of them. But I didn't care. I knew I got born again. I knew I got baptized. And that's all I knew. And then eventually the Holy Spirit got me into the Word, and I started learning some new things. And then I started finding out that these new creation realities, that as you get a revelation of them, they become yours. It's who you really are. You know, when you find out you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and understand what righteousness really means, that righteousness means you're in right standing with God. The minute you get born again, you are in right standing with God because of the blood of Jesus. It's always because of the blood of Jesus. Absolutely everything is because of the blood of Jesus. Without that shed blood of Jesus, nothing happens. So now, if we're honest with ourselves, we'll say, I can't possibly live the way the Bible tells me I'm supposed to live according to the law. But because of the shed blood of Jesus and the life of Christ in me, he can live it through me. Amen? And I know that if and when I make a mistake, I'm not toast. But because I received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, he gives me the ability to rule and reign over sin. Amen? These are important things for us to understand, for us to develop a faith walk that will glorify God. And here's the thing, don't ever get frustrated with yourself. Get to thinking, you know, I should be farther along in my faith life than what I am. You know, I don't know how many Christians that have been hanging around church for 1 or 2 years get frustrated and say, why can't I get this? Why am I not doing some of the things that you guys do? Why is it not this way? Why? And they get frustrated and say, I know God's got to be mad at me. And I said, you just got to knock it off. How long did it take you to learn calculus? Did you learn it in the first grade? What's wrong with you? Are you idiots? You didn't learn the things in the natural in 1 year. Don't get to thinking you're going to learn all the things in the spirit in 1 year. Amen? And some of these things, you know, we spend a lifetime learning wrong information. It may take a little while to unlearn that. Amen? It may take a little while to unlearn that, but that's okay. God has time. He has time for you. He likes to spend his time thinking about you, and he likes to spend his time taking care of you. And he's mindful of us. Always remember that. He's always mindful of us. And because he turned his face away from Jesus when he was on his cross, he will never, ever turn his face from you. Praise God. Okay. So, we need to know that in the mind of justice, we were created in Christ Jesus. It's always in him. Always in Christ Jesus. We have today in our spirits the very life and nature of God. You know, some people, I see, you know, they let that life and nature of God flow through them, seems like all the time. Some of us, maybe not as much. Don't get frustrated. You still have the life of God inside of you. Jesus did not jump out of you because you smashed your thumb with a hammer and embarrassed every angel in the state of Texas with ranting and raving that you did. He didn't get mad at you. Amen? The Holy Spirit didn't leave you. Okay. This is not an experience. It is not a religion. It is not joining a church. It is an actual birth of our spirit. See, when you got born again, you got baptized into the body of Christ. You are a member of the church. Say, don't we got to sign something? Don't we got to fill out a form? We got to get baptized? Join your church? He said, well, no, it ain't my church. He said, did you get born again? Yeah. Well, then you joined the church. You're a member. Lifetime members of the church. Get it in your heart. You're part of the body of Christ. You are members of the church. Amen? Okay. I don't care what document you sign. I don't care some pastor baptizes you and fills out a document saying now you're a member of the church. He's a little late on that. If you were born again 5 years ago, you was a member of that church 5 years ago. Amen. We got to take man's doctrine out of the way and let the freedom of Christ flow. Amen. It's really that simple. Sometimes people get to thinking that they're okay because they're a member of the church. You know, Kenneth Hagin died, and he was on his way to hell. And he was telling God, said, hey, I'm going the wrong way. I'm a member of the church. I've been baptized. And then he came back to life. And then he died again, and he left his body, and he's on his way to hell again. And he said he got to the gate, and he could feel it pulling him in. He said, this is not right. I'm part of the church. I've been baptized. And he came back into his body, and he started praying that prayer. He received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. They said they could hear him a block away. But he got born again. And he never had to go through that hell experience. The minute you get born again, you are a part of the body of Christ. You are a part of the church. Amen? But you have to be born again. It can't be any other way. A man must be born again. Period. There's only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus. The Bible makes it very clear that we must believe in our heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and we must confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. There is absolutely no other way. That is the straight and narrow way. It's the easy way. If you think about it, most everybody believes that God raised Jesus back to life. I mean, in America, you know, they get some kind of concept that God raised Jesus back to life. You have surely seen some kind of movies at some point or heard some kind of story. And then you find out that you got to confess him to be Lord, you get born again. But a lot of people think, well, I got baptized when I was a baby. Good for you. You need to get born again right now. But my mama was a Christian. Good for her. If you want to see her again, you need to get born again right now. The most absurd one I ever heard was, I was born in America. I'm a Christian. Really? You need to get born again right now. Jesus said that a man must be born again. There's no other way around it. Okay. We actually have an actual birth of our spirit. It gets turned on. Then we become the very sons and daughters of God. You must realize this. You're not a servant. You are a son. You are a child of God. We do serve God. We are servants in that understanding. But you have to understand that you are a child of God. He is our Father. He is our loving Father. We know that we have passed from Satan's dominion and spiritual death into the realm of life through Jesus Christ. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We know that we are in the family of God. We are children of God. One cannot join this family unless he is born into it. You must be born into it. You cannot join this. You cannot join up. You cannot sign up. You cannot earn it. You must be born into the family. There's no other way. The Bible says that if we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. Period. Now, one of the big things is a lot sometimes people say, well, so you must be baptized. And say, well, of course you must be baptized. When you get born again, you get baptized into the body of Christ. Well, what they were talking about, what verse they were talking about is Peter was talking to the Jews and he said, you must repent and be baptized. But he was talking to Jews who already had a covenant with God. Any Jews in here? No? You're all Gentiles? Or were? Okay, so then your directions are in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. The Jews only had to change their mind about Jesus and then go get baptized. But that was the Jews who had a covenant with God. We didn't have a covenant with God. We were heathens. So our directions are in Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. Get born again. Amen. And then you have a covenant with God. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that you do for us every day. Father, we thank you for saving us, protecting us, blessing us, guiding us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that you died on the cross for us and that absolutely everything that we need in this life is met at that cross. It's already paid for. And all we have to do is receive it. Believe it and receive it. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.